Quincy City Council President Ian Kane is joining us for an update of the St. Patrick's Day edition of the City Council meeting. Hi, Ian. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Joe. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Saw a lot of green at the council meeting last night.
Yeah, people were wearing green. My mother sent me a message asking me where mine was, but I think in my mind, St. Patrick's Day had been celebrated throughout the duration of the weekend, really. So got my green in another day.
Very good. So it looked like it was, from just looking at the agenda, it didn't look too controversial, but I know there was some heated discussion last night.
Yeah, no, but there was certainly and I'll go through our agenda and we can, talk about the most exciting portion of the meeting towards the end. We started off the meeting last night with a presentation from Commissioner Dave Murphy and the environmental scientist Heather Liss. Rob Stevens from the planning department also was there in his capacity from the planning department. There was an effort, I think from 20, or at least there was a plan put together from 2019 to 2025, 2026 that governs the open space and recreation plan. So there'd been a lot of work that had gone into this in prior years. And I think COVID, threw off a lot of the scheduled plans and actions that were outlined. So there's a fully updated plan for 2025 to 2032, which the team was presenting to the City Council last night, just before it will send this up to a regional coordinating body, which is called the Massachusetts Area Planning Commission. And they'll review their planning plans that will then be sent up to the state for full approval. But I mean, it's really great to see, a lot of the work that has already gone into the open space and recreation plan over the past 5, 6 years. And it seems like they're mostly on target, despite being thrown off. But it just, categorizes what open space is and what the intentions are for some of these projects, obviously, in order for people to, some of the things that were just highlighted: promote healthy lifestyles, improve air quality, create habitat for wildlife, provide flood protection, restore soil, stabilize neighborhoods, promote social interaction, increase access to healthy food, and capture and clean stormwater. So it's pretty cool. I just know how passionate both the commissioner and Heather are about their work, which is great. That's exactly what type of people you want responsible for advancing this. I know that there had been considerable public input on the work that went into this, and so that's also appreciated. And I'm gonna put these. There's a website that was given last night. I'll send it to you, Joe, so that you can share with your audience. And I'll certainly be sending this out in my next newsletter.
Okay, great. Do you know, Ian, are there plans for the city to purchase additional open space as part of this plan?
I don't think there's any more or any further plans to purchase space. I think a lot of the spaces, had been acquired that came up last night. So the former Beachcomber property that has been improved and is now being maintained, Zero Harriet Ave, which is another in Ward 3 that was acquired a few years back, just after the, or during the pandemic, whatever. But nice portion of open space. And actually, the space, there's one here that will probably be acquired if it already hasn't. Why I don't know if it has or it hasn't. The South Street, 570 South Street, Cleverly Court, which will be a park down in Quincy Point.
Okay.
So that's all that I'm aware of now. But again, this is it's a cool plan. We'll make it available to you and to people so that they can look through themselves.
Great, thank you. Yeah, I look forward to that. I'll invite the commissioner and the scientist over as well to talk more about
Well, I have no doubt that they'd love to come and talk about it.
it. Excellent.
So then we went into an appropriation for $1.5 million. We moved some money from the hotel motel tax and tourism, or from the open space account to the hotel motel tax tourism account for Quincy 400. And so there was a little presentation that was given to us. And Mr. Walker outlined some of the planned uses for the request for the appropriation. So just events and programming, including various speakers, concerts, fireworks, and increased programmatic elements, Flag Day, heritage tree planting. There's going to be commemorative tree planting and park activation to memorialize this of Quincy 400th anniversary, and a line item for personnel services. This continues to be, this is the second appropriation request. We had approved $600,000 last year, and this is the second appropriation request, second and final. It was represented to us, which is good. Again, this comes from the hotel motel tax account, which is derived from taxes from people that visit our city. It's not, this is not coming from the general fund or any related accounts.
Okay, so eventually, does that get put back into open space from the
So,
revenue?
what I we asked this ISS last night, and apparently there will be some sponsorships that will contribute to the event that will go money will go back into this account to replenish the money that is used.
Okay. So all total $2.1 million to celebrate Quincy 400, it seems like.
And I think, I'm sure I when we get the final tally, it'll be more than that. And just given, I think there will be corporate participation in various ways. So, if it's a zero out, I don't know, but we'll see. But yeah, 2.1.
Okay, very good.
That unanimously passed. And then we just moved it to another, procedurally moved it to another account. Councilor Minton proposed two pieces of legislation last night. One is an ordinance adopting Mass General Law leave of absence for individuals that work in the municipality to take leave when in the event that they are serving as an organ donor. So it allows an employee of the city to take a leave of absence of not more than 30 days in a calendar year to serve as an organ donor without loss or reduction of pay, without loss of leave to which he's otherwise entitled, and without loss of credit or time or service. Really nice gesture that went into ordinance committee that will be discussed at a later date. And he also introduced a resolution titled The Second Chance of Life, which is connected to that. This is just outlining, well, it's requesting the administration explore the possibility of providing an excused leave of absence for city employees to be donor of organ, blood, or stem cells connected to that ordinance. So we passed the resolution and we put the ordinance into committee. We'll debate that at a future ordinance committee meeting.
Okay, very good.
And so now to the meat. So as you're aware, a year ago in April, so it was less than a year ago, but Council Liang had put forward an order that would recognize Lunar New Year as a holiday in the city. It unanimously passed the city council and the mayor signed it into law. The school committee at that time had their own issue with the way that the council went about this, making this order. The order effectively closed public buildings. It didn't amend the school calendar, but in recognition of this holiday, the city would close its public buildings in order to observe Lunar New Year. The school committee believe they went out and got a legal opinion that said that that's within their purview to close the building or to whatever maintain the school calendar, and that they wouldn't. And just for historical context, this is a matter that had come before the school committee on three occasions. There's been an opportunity to vote on having Lunar New Year observed as an official holiday. It has never passed. And so, I know from the get-go, Councilor Liang's intention was to recognize this holiday for a sizable portion of our community. The ordinance was passed, the law's on the books. The resolution that was put forward last night by Councilor Liang was to effectively enforce this law that's on the books. It's instructing the solicitor to take further action in order to enforce this law, because the law wasn't challenged and the law's just sitting there. So what are we passing laws for if they're not going to be enforced? And yeah, there was a good debate last night. I think some folks feel that we the city council are infringing on the duties and responsibilities or the domain of the school committee. Others believe this is something that we should be honoring and moving forward. And there are we're kind of not honoring a sizable portion of our community and their desire to honor this as a holiday. I personally commend my colleague, Councilor Liang, for sticking with this. And I think that this for us was a reaffirmation vote that we took last night. It didn't go unanimous; it went 7-2. But this was to me a reaffirmation of the sentiments that we unanimously supported a year ago. So I don't know what more changed. And I certainly, from the get-go, never saw this as a city council versus school committee issue. The school committee had their business. They decided what to do, and we in the city council had our business, and we made decisions on what to do too. But I in fact, I don't even understand why it's such a complicated issue. Given that, as I continue to say, this is a sizable portion of our community, and this isn't trying to divide anybody. This is actually about community building and recognizing some of the rich cultural aspects that exist here. And some folks had suggested last night picking certain schools and based on their percentage of Asian population and allowing them to close. And I think that's kind of crazy. I mean, that's more division than it is bringing people together. Are we going to start, percentaging Christians and Jews and Muslims and whatever else, so that those particular schools can or can celebrate holidays? No, I don't think so. So, we'll see what happens from here. I think I feel pretty sure that the school committee will not be pleased with this decision, or at least the movement. I don't know what will happen, if there will be enforcement by whomever would enforce this for public buildings to close when Lunar New Year is observed. But I do commend Councilor Liang for her leadership on this and for just trying to do the right thing. And I think this is it's meaningful to her and to a considerable portion of our city's population.
So just to be clear, Ian, that the initial order that the council approved last year doesn't specifically say that the schools have to close for Lunar New Year. It's just all public buildings. Is that right?
Yeah, public buildings. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's the schools that are contesting that.
Yeah, because it somehow infringes on their deliberative powers that control the school calendar. So, and the question I asked was, well, wouldn't I don't know. Again, there are these are details that if this was something that was to be enforced, then wouldn't a message be received by the deliberative body that this is a law? So, and I brought up Juneteenth because Juneteenth is a new holiday, and federal holiday,
Right.
that signed that was made by an executive order, during COVID, right? I think.
Yes,
And
President Biden. Yes, yeah.
yeah. And all of a sudden that's a new holiday, but I didn't hear anybody complain about that. And that's not anything that, at least I've, as a half black person, ever grew up with, knew about, asked for, and I've never heard anybody asking for it. But this is something, Lunar New Year, that is already part of our community. This is something that's widely celebrated.
Do you know what, do other public schools observe it as a holiday in here in Massachusetts?
In the state, no, I don't know.
Okay.
I think Councilor Harris brought something out last night about different states. There might be eight or nine states that observe the holiday. So,
Oh, okay.
yeah.
So could a route be to make it a state holiday?
Yeah, I mean, I said that last night. I said, oh, I didn't realize we should have gone about this by home rule petition. You know?
So you passed the resolution last night.
Did we pass that resolution?
Okay.
Yeah.
And it remains to be seen. As I recall, the school committee's already voted on the 2026 school calendar, and they voted against making Lunar New Year a holiday. Is that right?
That's my understanding too.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Stay tuned for that one, it sounds like.
Yeah, stay tuned for that one. And then there were $2,300 and $2,350 for various from various donors for DARE last night, which we approved.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
And your next meeting?
It's the 7th of April. We have a public hearing at 6:30, followed by an ordinance committee meeting, and then we'll have our city council meeting.
Okay, very good. And any Ward 3? I know you just put your newsletter out not too long ago. Ward 3.
Yeah, thank you. I put out our newsletter, and of course I don't have the dates in front of me, but I announced two town halls. If you can bear with me for 2 seconds,
Sure,
I'll tell you the date.
yeah.
The first one will be Jim Devine, Councillor Jim Devine from Ward 4, and I had hosted a public meeting last week or a week and a half ago about a proposed development across from the Common Market. And out of that meeting, there were a whole host of traffic issues that really came out that were, irrespective of whether or not this project will happen. And so I said, you know what? Why don't we get everyone together again? We'll get TPAL, the Transportation Parking Alarm and Lighting team, in, and we can have a focused meeting on traffic and parking issues. So, Councillor Devine and I are co-hosting that meeting on Wednesday, March 26th at 6 p.m. at the Bernazani School on Furnaceburg Parkway. And I also, I think that another thing that comes up in the background, that obviously we're going through weird times in the economy, and costs are all over the place. Housing costs are sky high. And I wanted to be able to give people maybe tools that they don't necessarily work with on a regular basis. I think, financial planning and financial literacy is very important. And so I've brought in two friends, who one's a financial advisor, another one works in real estate, who are very familiar with the area. And so wanted to offer people, and they've offered their time, to talk about sort of financial planning 101, and budgeting, and talking about planning for home ownership. We'll get an overview of what's going on in the real estate market locally, and regionally, and how it connects to sort of the costs of everything. And just a different sort of town hall than I've previously hosted, but we'll be hosting that on Wednesday, May 7th at Central Middle School, and that starts at 6:30 p.m.
Oh, very good. Okay.
So yeah, and we used to do actually, I guess pre-COVID, we did a lot of these town halls. We'd get department heads to come in and just connect directly with people, because usually we serve as a middle person anyway. I always say we're the kind of WD-40. If their engines aren't working, just give us a call, and we'll make sure people are being responsive. But we wanted to have these, which seem very pertinent and timely.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, very good. Appreciate that. And if folks want to sign up for your newsletter, Ian, how do they do that?
Send me an email at ICAIN@quincyma.gov. And I've been sending out letters for almost 10 years now, and you would think that I'd have a bigger email list. It's funny. So please send me your email so you don't miss out on these things.
All right, we'll help you get the word out.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.